Well, let's begin with a word of prayer together.
Our Father, we pray for grace, for wisdom, to fathom your word, most of all, to apply it into our heart, into our life. We pray that you will encourage our hearts, strengthen us further, teach us how to focus on you, and to pray for your blessings as we read your word this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now if we were to try to look at Psalm 8, and then look at the earlier Psalms, and you begin to realize that there are actually challenges along the way. Right? Psalm 7 is a very, very difficult psalm to read, to understand, to apply. Problems, difficulties, challenges, they will be there. Right? So how does Psalm 8 actually apply? Now, I think that the meaning of it all is fairly deep, actually. But I think this is important, the best thing to do. Okay, when there are times when we look at the problems, difficulties, challenges of life, and we can become overly focused on them. And it can drain you. What's the best thing to do? You know the old song, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full on his wonderful face. And the things of all the world." They would literally, if you focus hard and long on the Lord, they can fade away instead. This is one of those psalms that will teach us how to focus our thoughts, our feelings, whatever, on the Lord instead. Right? It is not an easy thing to do, but that focus is a critical thing to do. Look at all the problems and challenges and difficulties and what have you in life. They can drain you. They can dry you out. They can cause you to lose a lot of things. What's the best thing to do? Dwell on the Lord. Choose to dwell on the Lord instead. Right? There are always choices to be made. What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? And everything seems wonderful on a human level. Wait, stop. Focus. What should I dwell on? Let me dwell on the Lord in it. You see, this is something that we need to consider. We need to practice. Not an easy thing. So Psalm 8 may be easy to read on its own. There is no real logical connection between Psalm 7 and Psalm 8, actually. But if Psalm 7 represents all the problems, challenges, difficulties of life, how does Psalm 8 fit in? It fits in by teaching us, don't focus on these things, focus instead on the Lord and his name. Right? I mean, that's how we cope, that's how we learn from the psalmist what to do with these things here. We focus on things which are not going to be healthy, not going to be helpful. We just get sucked into it. I think this is important, and that we need to consider very, very carefully. How do we focus? And the psalmist teaches us. Remember, in Psalm 3, there were problems. Psalm 4, problem. Psalm 5, problem. Psalm 6, problem. Psalm 7, problems. Being king, being leader, being who he was, being where he was, there were problems all the time. Problem with his family members, problem with his children, problem with enemies outside, problems with war, problems with, you name it. There will always be people like that. Problems, difficult, they won't go away. So what's the best thing to do internally? Focus. And this is how we learn. Oh Lord, our Lord. Focus is not easy. We often think, if I think about it, is that focus? No. How do you know that focus is there? When the problems, difficulties, challenges don't affect you, then you say, we have found focus. They're not easy to say, this is focus. But this is what he's learning now. Oh Lord, our Lord. Now, this is something that we want to. How excellent is your name? Okay? In all the earth. You know, it's so important that we understand this. I was reading a story of a of a person who was actually a Christian senator in the U.S. And sometimes some of these people achieve quite in earlier years. They do a lot for the country. Not now, this all caught up. They can't do anything very much. But in earlier years, when the things can get done, and then this is his way of making sure that he doesn't get too big for his boots. He will pick his confidants there and tell him, let's look at the stars. And then on a clear night, look at the stars. How many can you see? What can you see? And then suddenly everything falls into perspective. When we think about how small a speck this whole earth, whole planet is in the great grand scheme of things, you begin to realize how small and insignificant we really are. Let's not focus on ourselves. Let's focus on the Lord, His name, His glory above everything else. Now, if you place the Lord, His glory, His name over all the earth, how big is your problem? How big are you? I'm not even sure we can even dot the I. That is focus. Don't get caught up with anything else. Now, that is a great challenge. So you look at someone, okay, that is just what a righteous man should do. Psalm 2, the Messiah, and all the problems. Psalm 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, nothing but difficulties, problems in life. So Psalm 8 is a welcome break. Right? And so you begin. How do you cope with all these things when everything is just, you know, your heart is beating faster, sometimes it gets cold, you know, you get worried, you get anxious, you know. What do? Learn, memorize Psalm 8, read it, recite it. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And as you think about it, as you recite it, as you read it, out loud you hear and you just focus. Don't just read it and understand it, but just focus and you begin to realize, wow. You set your glory above all the heavens. Why am I so caught up with myself, my problems, my challenge, my difficulties? Now, Psalm 8 gives us a perspective, which is an important thing to have. A lot of times we don't. We're so caught up with a lot of things. We are worried about our future. We worry about growing older. We worry about our children. We worry about our health. We worry about where Singapore is going. We worry about too many things in this life can cause us to worry all the time. Right? Focus. Now, let's look at verse 2. And this is profound. Okay? Not that there are no enemies at all. There are enemies. They will always be there. They're not going to go away. So as you dwell on God, suddenly He gives you an illumination. Suddenly you understand. Now that's what happened. See, we just name the name of God and then just name. You think yourself. See, meditation is not to let our mind go blank. No, that's not it. It's filling the mind with the right things. And the enemies won't go away, right? What is God's solution? You see, most of us, when we think enemy, we think God zapped them and they're gone. That would be nice. But the world will become very, very underpopulated because a lot of people are going to die. Right? You can't. We, obviously. And so we are looking at this thing here. But this is something that we need to look at. What do we do with this? And out of the meditation, out of the thinking of God, of the name of God, of the glory of God, then suddenly this thought comes in. And this is tremendous enlightenment if you can figure it out. The answer is babes. Huh? Really? How does it come in? And there is that wisdom of the Lord. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. How does that work out? Can you see? You see the jump across? I'm thinking about God. I'm thinking about the Lord. I'm talking about His name. I'm talking about His glory. I'm talking about the heavens. I'm talking about everything else. Next moment, I'm talking about babies. How come? See? You can't even explain the switch from one end to the other. But it's obvious, there is an obvious switch. Right? The Lord, His name, His glory in heavens. And then, I'm thinking of babies now. Now, David is not the kind of thing, you know, okay, play kuchi-kuchi-koo. He's not... He's not so much into that. This is a warrior. You know, but suddenly, out of nowhere, he's thinking babes. How does that work out? Now, this is what meditation, enlightenment, the work of God is to be understood. Now, he swings from one end to the other. Babes. Why think of babes? Why think of babies? And then the profound thought came in. Lord, you have ordained strength. They are the enemies. You know, I say this with you, you know, today's BBC reported that since the Syrian war started, 17,000 babies, children, have been killed. And counting. These are the official figures. Let's not talk about the unofficial. 17,000. What's the answer? Not adults. What's the answer? Children. And so they played a little clip of how the children go to school. Of how the children are taught to sing about peace, no war, hope, out of the mouth of babes. Where is the future? Our children. A future for a greater generation, recovery, defeat of enemies, resolving challenges and problems. In God's wisdom, to God's glory, in God's name, the answer, children. Now that is profound. You see the whole focus? So don't get caught up with all sorts of things that can really cause us to lose our sight of what is not. One hand, God's glory, God's name in the heavens. On the next moment, it is. How do they fit in? In God's wisdom, David, don't worry about the enemy so much. Don't worry about these things here. The enemies will never go away. What's God's answer? Profoundly, the next generation, babes. You see the idea of dwelling upon your name, your glory in the heavens and all that. Next moment, the thoughts are very deep and profound. Instead of dwelling on the problems, how to overcome this enemy, how to, you know, God is the judge, you know, oh, constantly, the fear of evil prevailing is very real. What's the best answer? Focus. So that you don't allow the things there to affect you too much. They will affect you, no question about it. Question is, how do I do this? How do I live this way? And you learn how to say, look at out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants. God's answer to the enemies. There we go. Nursing babes, infants. That is the real answer to all of these things. You have ordained strength. You will silence the enemy and the avenger. That's how it is. They can kill this generation. The next generation will rise up. That is the profound answer that God has given to Israel. Defeated by the Philistines time and again. Overrun by the Canaanites in the land and became slaves of the people, book of Judges. What's the answer? Babes. New generation will come out. One of whom was Samuel. Out of one little boy, Israel had hope again. And a king began. One child called Samuel. Profound. Now, this is important. This was the one who also anointed David. The story of Samuel is well known to a lot of people. The profundity of it all is tremendous. Out of it, this is the child that will arise and then come up to become that person or the people whom God will use to silence the enemy. Right? There was a time when David was a little boy. 1, 2, 3, 4, until the father doesn't want to come. David is going out in the field. Not important. And Samuel said, there must be somebody else. Oh, well, there's one who's out there. He's looking after the sheep. Bring him in. You don't want to take the biggest elder son? He's good looking. Samuel said, wow, this guy is good. Nope, not the one. Out of the mouth of babes. God, in his wisdom, raised up David. So you don't want to look and dismiss that which seems insignificant, small, like babes, like children. Kindy ministry is important. Think about this thing. Out of this little ones will arise others. Don't neglect them. It is a vital ministry if we have the wisdom to understand what it is. You never know the impact you can make on little ones. And there we go. See? So this is profundity. Now we move on to the third verse. Goes back to heaven again. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. Wow, that is an important thing. Once I was a little girl, and you look at all the stars and all, trying to do it. You were talking about these things here, and this is the work of God's fingers. And the little girl concluded, this is done by God's left hand. And the father and mother said, what do you mean by God's left hand? How do you know? He says, of course, it's so obvious. Because Jesus was sitting on his right hand. So since Jesus is sitting on his right hand, his left hand did all these things here. Profound wisdom. Of course, that's not what it means. But these are the words. Can you imagine all the stars in the sky, everything else? There must be billions of them, we are told. And more, maybe. The work of his fingers? I can't even draw one nicely. And this is what it is. Wow. When I consider them. You know, we need, sometimes we think, okay, I've dwelt on God's name already. I'm okay. I'm pretty good. I've meditated on it. Not yet. Go deeper. There's always a greater depth about God, about glory, about His work than we imagine. We haven't fathomed everything there is to know about God, His power, His glory yet. Psalm 92, the works of God are great. The fool does not know, the senseless man cannot understand. Let's not be that foolish, senseless person who cannot understand the works of God. Okay, so we just imagine how great God is. Let's not dwell upon how talented we are, how gifted we are, how wonderful we are. We are very, very, very infinitely small. And so the fullness of the glory, I consider, now that we think about that, which you have ordained. Now that's interesting. Okay, can you see the comparison that is there? Okay, in verse 2, ordain. The moon, the stars, the heavens, ordain. Now that is an absolutely amazing comparison. Okay? Now this is interesting to see. On the one hand, the greatness of everything, the glory, the depth of everything. On the other hand, puny little man. Of course, the word, what is man, is not the grown-up man. It's simply mankind. Right? Still in the stage of the babes and everything. What is man that you are mindful of him? Right? Think about this. This idea of what is man that you are mindful of him? It's Psalm 115. And this is really, really, really important for us to understand and appreciate. 1:5. And we read this in verse 12. Okay? And the psalmist thanks God. He says, you have been mindful of us. Is it not enough that God is mindful of us? I mean, you just look at small human being who can live 70, 80 years and look at the stars that have been there since time began. We will come and we will go and they will still be there. They were there before us. They will be there after us. What is man? Really, what is man that you are mindful of him? And yet here we are, full of bluster, full of self. We can do everything. Really, our perspective needs to be corrected. And it helps when we focus on things like that. What is man that you are mindful of him? Okay? And this is truly man. So from babes, men, it's the same idea, by the way. Okay, so you mustn't think that babes and mount now is a man. No. We're talking the same idea. This is creation of mankind, literally. See, when here we go, the babes. So one person was very, very proud of himself, you know, at our country. You know, so many great men are born, great scientists are there, great, lawyers are there, great doctors are there. And look at this place here. Well, who are born here? And the person's reply was, oh, we don't have people who are born scientists, born, they're all born babies. Touché. We are born babies. So don't come on a high horse and tell about how great we really, really, really are. You just imagine. That this is important for us. You see, so sometimes we can get so caught up with all sorts of things that we fail to see the perspective of it all. It's a tiny little baby. Right? You know, we all want to get the children to talk and again talk. Mama, papa, daddy, whatever. You know. We just can't wait for them to stop later on. Stop, 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 stop. Well, this is what it is. And fortunately, there was one girl in the U.S. He ran up a telephone bill of $400. And the father said, you got to stop talking so much. And he said, okay. But he kept on the phone all the time. He said, daddy, I've stopped talking. I only talk half the time. The other half of the time, I listen. What's the difference? Well, there we go. See, so we look at the idea of babes, we look at the idea of man, and we realize that we are not so great after all. See, we need to dwell in a greater perspective. The greater perspective is who God is, His glory, His wisdom, His grace, His mercy, His power, and put man in perspective. What is our perspective? Focus teaches us perspective. What is our perspective? And it's not a whole lot. You know, we think that we are, but we are not. The perspective of life should be the one of who God, how great God is. And man, okay, that's what we want to be. See, but this is the men of the world will not think this way. The man of God will. The man of God will put himself in proper perspective. The man of the world will not. God is not important. He's there. I'm the central person. I am the key person. I am the person who is going to do this. And that's when. What is man that you are mindful of him? Son of man is just simply man. That you visit him. So 115 verse 12, you are mindful of us. Right? This is something that we often don't know how to appreciate. Okay, now let's take a look at these things here. You have made him a little lower than the angels. We call this a little thing. Not little meaning as your literal, little. It is like a person who is very, very clever, very smart, very wise, and he says, well, I know a thing or two. He knows a thing or two, one thing, two things, don't know anything else. But that's what we, it's called a little thing. Literally means man is made lots lower than the angels. That's what it means. You see, the obvious difference is there. They live in heaven. We cannot survive. Right? What is the air like? You cannot breathe. They are just spirit beings and they are created to serve God. We are not. They are powerful creatures. They can fight off the evil ones. We cannot. We will be defeated. They can span from one end to the other. God sends and they're gone. They have tremendous authority and power. We don't. So what is man? Right? In a grand scheme of things, universe, heavens, moon, stars, what is man? You know, only a child would think, as I walk, the moon follows me. And for a long time, your child, you believe in, he's still there. If I go down there, he's still there. Why are you following me? It's not the moon. It's our lack of understanding. What is man? Right? Now compare man with angels. Oops. Not that great. Not that great either. Right? We are way lower. That's what it means. So you use beautiful literary sentence. We say you make him a little lower than the angels. Literally what it means is much lower than you think. How do we compare with the angels? Well, the Apostle John, great servant of God that he is, sees an angel, sees how mighty they are. He wants to worship. See, that's fear. And so when the angel sang or when the angel spoke to the shepherds, they cowered in fear. So with Zacharias, so with Mary, The fear is natural because we are looking at greater beings than we are. So why should God be even mindful of us at all? Well, that's where we are. Okay? And yet, look at how God has crowned him with glory and honor. Now, that is something that we never take for granted, unfortunately. Okay? What is your best defense when you see... There was one lady who was in the U.S., and they went to those old type of houses. And then a rat came, and she screamed. So her husband went to the store and got hold of a mouse trap and put down there. And in the later in the night, it trapped the mouse. So the wife looked at the mouse and said, "No, no, it's not that one. It must be a bigger one somewhere." Why are we afraid of little things called mouse or lizards or cockroach? What is your answer to that? Remember this verse. I am crowned with glory and honor. I am not going to be afraid of you, cockroach or mouse or lizard or whatever. See, most of us don't know how to apply these things here. And I'm afraid that men also had this thing here. I must tell you, all of us have our own moments of scary moments. One of the ways in which today they help people to conquer phobia in the U.S., it's an interesting technique. So they literally bring the person to the clinic. What are you afraid of? Right? Whatever it is you're afraid of. They say, okay, you sit here for a while. And they will switch on a screen and then flash it. And so, whatever you're scared of, you flash it. And automatically, the mind will react. Right? So after a while, okay, you can go now. Now, the early days was confrontation. Right? You fall off the horse, get on the horse. Whatever it is you're afraid of, face it. Nowadays, people don't take that approach very much anymore. You use things like that. And you know what? The next time they come across it, the mind is already prepared. My greatest phobia when I was much younger was caterpillars. Well, part of it was when I was playing hide and seek as a kid. I came across a tree and said, okay, I'm going to hide here. Okay, I'm going to just, you know, you're going to hide and we're going to look for you. And that tree, suddenly I heard sounds. Gnawing sounds. I didn't know what it was. So I brought my torchlight. I shone at the other tree. The tree, those flame of the forest type, there was an attack many, many years ago. You know, in the 60s, actually. And all flame of the forest had that attack of thousands of caterpillars found inside of it. And lo and behold, I saw one of those things here. I don't know what happened, but I know that I broke out in rashes. Now, it could be some of the things that came on to me, but I came up with rashes. And then for the several years. If there was a TV program, Nat Geo, whatever, and it showed caterpillars, I cannot see it. I will walk away, I will do something else, I got no time, I'm busy. Okay? Because I cannot face it. I cannot. It was there until I began to look at pictures, and then the mind began to form so I can look at it. And here I have two granddaughters who look at those things here and put them on their fingers. And she said, "Kong Kong, see." I see. I still cannot fully overcome them. I sometimes forget to apply crown with glory and honor. See, we don't know how to apply these things here. We are capable of greater nobility than we are, than we exhibit. Right? But now I'm a little bit better. I can read the book with them, the little caterpillar. He ate every day, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday, and then 1 month and then 2 months, and then up comes the butterfly. I can read the story now. Not in the past. I just don't like caterpillars. Thank you very much. You see, but how do we overcome these things that cause us to be afraid, cause us to be distracted, cause us to be down, cause us to be whatever? Focus. Learn to dwell on God, on the Lord, on His name, on His creation, on the sun, on the moon, and the stars. And then look at it. In God's profundity, little ones, babes, children, and there ordained strength. So don't we see the idea of the enemy is still there. Right? So what do you do with enemies? Instead of crying out to the Lord, be the judge, judge them, please, deal with them. These are their wicked things. Deal with them. Now, Psalm 9 will go back to the same thing. But for a while, Psalm 8. Let me dwell on God instead. On His glory, on His being, His person, His power, the work of His fingers. And look at man, puny little man. Does he have a space? Does he have a place in God's plan? Yes. What is it? Strength. What is it? Can I cope? Yes. I'm going to find the strength somehow, somewhere. Not easy, but I will keep on learning to focus and exercise that faith so clearly that something will rub off on me. Okay, not just babe forever, will grow up. And from there, find the strength. You come to me with your shield, with your spear, and everything else. I come to you in the name of the Lord. Okay, there is that strength. And there is the glory of the Lord. It's all there, but it's up to us to find out. Okay, where does it begin? To begin to help us to understand He has placed man to have dominion over the works of His hands, of your hands. All things under His feet. So it is important that we really understand this whole idea. Sheep and oxen, beasts of the field, birds of the air, fish of the sea, and everything else. And right on top of the everything else is man. Right? So in the grand scheme of things in the heavens, don't even compare. Angels, don't even compare. Mankind, yes, but look at the beasts. So in God's order, there is the place of man. Question, have we found this? And I think this is important for us to understand and appreciate what it all means for us. And the end of it all is how excellent is your name in all the earth. In fact, the only person who has understood this perfectly, think about these things here. What is man and the Son of Man? And this is something that is absolutely important for us to take note of. The only person who actually understood what it really means to be Son of Man is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only person who actually can practice, exemplify what it really means to be truly Son of Man. Let's take a look at one passage to me that has stood out to me over the years, more and more so. Is the book of Hebrews in chapter 10. And this is something that we want to look at. Book of Hebrews, we look at chapter 10 and we'll see this. Okay? And this is something that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came into the world,
he said. Okay? This is, now, this is nowhere recorded in the Gospels at any time. Okay? But he said this. We call this agrapha, meaning to say not written. But it is there recorded for us. This is what he said. Now, that's an absolutely sacrifice and offering you did not desire. A body you have prepared for me. Okay? Then he said, behold, then I said, behold, I have come.
Now, that is an absolutely tremendous way of applying this idea of a Son of Man concept. Okay? One. We are in this body of flesh. Right? This is the first part of it. So if we are in this body, there is no need to worry too much about what it's all about what we look, what we wear, what we have, what we eat, and things like that. That should not be our focus. Matthew 5 tells us very, very clearly. Matthew 6 reminds us this is not where we should be. Okay? This is the focus, and I like this here. You have prepared for me just as it is. So perfectly, uniquely, we are who the Lord has made us. What is an appropriate response? It should be, behold, I have come. Okay? This is very important. What is it that we need to look at? In the volume of the book, it is written of me. Find in the volume of the book. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus opened the book of Isaiah, the scroll, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's found it. It speaks of me. And what am I going to do? I want to do your will. Of course, this is something that we want to look at. And this is really, really challenging for us to consider. Right? And this is something that we want to ask ourselves too. How should I look at it? Okay? In God's wisdom, the Lord Jesus Christ was born as a little baby too. In God's profound wisdom, God has ordained strength to be His. Later on, the Lord Jesus Christ will defend the little children who sang Hosanna. Out of the mouth of babes will come forth praise perfectly. That's what we're looking at. I have come to do your will. No need to worry about how small we are or how great we are. That is not important. Either way, it's not correct. How small we are, very. Yet God ordained strength. Right? And here it is, lower than the angels, and yet we are able to master everything else on this earth. The birds, the animals, you name it. The Lord enables us to find some way, means somehow, to become master of all these things that He has created. And don't take this lightly, but it's there. And our focus must be, I have come to do your will. And so here is the Lord. This is what God has ordained. It's for us to figure out what is your will. And then do it. Rather than to not understand, not discern, not comprehend the will of God. We've got to understand this. And so how do we find it? In the volume of the Lord's word. So let's not waste all the time be fretting about this and about that. This should be our focus. This is our faith. This is our God. This is His word. Where do I fit in? And it's good to know where we can fit in into God's plan. And so Hebrews 10 becomes a wonderful example to us, and this is what it is. Right? And we talk about a covenant. The covenant I will make with them. Who was the one who was going to bring about a covenant? The Lord Jesus was. I have come to do your will. that he came preaching, teaching the Lord's word. Why? To do his will. To make the deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk. To do his will. Finally, to suffer and to die. To do his will. That's what we're here to do. You see, so in the whole complex situation of life, we got to figure out how it all fits in. Right? So there is God in all his glory, and we have got to set aside time. Let me meditate on you, God, on your name, on your glory, how excellent it is, and you made all these things here. Along the way, there will be enemies, problems, difficulties, challenges in life. Let's not get fazed by all these things here. Let's go back to God, how to look at his glory, look at his greatness, look at his works. Right? And ponder the works and ask, where does man come in God's grand scheme of things? Here, humbly babe. Humbly man. In all his glory, man is still man. He may be on top of all the whole world as we see it, the different species and everything else. But man is still only man. Right? He may be on top of the animals and the fish and the birds and everything else, but he is still only man in the grand scheme of things. Against angels, very small. Against the universe, don't even talk about it. How do we fit in? You see, we need to learn to meditate on these things here. Lord, you have given me this body. Right? And there we are. We want the extra muscles. We want the biceps to be there. We want to, when we breathe, the buttons break. You know, we want a hair that is, wow, you know, there we go. And there we are so filled with ourselves, thinking that's what it is. And they walk with the hand, cannot come down, you know, because they're that big. And so we just think, though, this is the way to go. And yet, what is it? We are still going to have to figure out, how do we do your will? You made me this way. Right? And I mean, we just like to do something else, but we think that, wow, this is great. Why? How it is? Let's not forget God's grand scheme of things. Where do we fit in? Okay, so from time to time, I will see, you know, here is an early morning or sometimes in the evening. Here's a nice, very nice sports car. It will go on my lap, go to all red and all that. And without too much of difficulty, I figure the person who is driving it, I look, must be an older man. Look through. He's trying to remember his youth, he's trying to remember, wow, it's great, but he's not. So the only way to do it is to buy a red car, a flashy one, the roof, no roof. Yeah, look, wow. And then drive slowly so that people can admire. I always hope it doesn't rain soon because you are going to be in serious trouble then. And will I buy one like that? No. Why? It's so dusty in Singapore. Why would I want it to come back? You're going to clean all the time. Why would I want to do that? Oh. Unfortunately, my Odyssey has a sunroof. I never use it. Why would I want to see? What's there to see about the sun? There we go. But you see the problem of it all? We just want to be bigger than we are. We think that we are stronger. We are going to get things done. We're going... Whatever the Lord has given to us, it's all from him. Whether he's given us the intelligence, whether he's given us the wealth, whether he's given us the standing, it's the Lord's. It's all from the Lord. His question is how we use what he's given to us. How should we use it? Use it to the glory of the Lord. Use it to do his will. That's the best way to go about. So whatever the Lord has given to us, use those things to glorify his name, to do his will. That is the best way to go. And that's what it should be. Right? So Hebrews 10 is one of those examples. And the second passage that is really, really important is Philippians chapter 2. And that is what we need to look at. And again here, the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you. Okay, and in verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man. This is Psalm 8 in mind. As appearance as a man. Okay, now that I am made man, what should I do? I will humble myself. You know what I will do as man proper? I will be obedient to God. The part of man, unfortunately, is he refuses to be obedient to God. He wants to do his own thing. But the Lord Jesus Christ became obedient to the Lord to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has exalted him highly above everything, given him a name above every name. Well, there is Hebrews 10, and there is Philippians 2. Both of them exemplify what is man that God made. They all, one person only, has been able to really successfully, fully fulfill what this understanding is. So God made man, a little baby. Herod was scared of this baby, wanted to kill him, couldn't. Nothing could. Poverty didn't kill him either. He became all that he was. And Philippians 2 reminds us how it works. In his glory, God has given him a name above every name. Well, that's what it means to be Son of Man. So it's good for us to look at Psalm 8 and then ask yourself, wait a minute, what should I be looking at? First, let's look at man in the grand scheme of life and creation. Moon, sun, stars, universe, earth, man. Small. Okay, with angels, compare. Small. Against other creatures, big. In the grand scheme of things, how do I apply these things here? Follow the Lord Jesus. Let me understand why I'm here, to do His will. You know what I want to do? I want to do His will. How am I going to do it? Philippians 2 comes in. This is how I'm going to do it. I am going to do it here, this way. In obedience, in humility, in subjection to the point of death. Let me be faithful and true. Now that would be really significant. Let the Lord exalt you in due time. If that is in God's will, so be it. If it is not in God's will, what is man anyway? Right? So what is man? You want somebody want to shoot you now? It's okay. What is man? Don't be overly worried if people despise you, look down on you, attack you, say bad things against you, enemies of you. Doesn't matter. Perspective. Go back to God. Go back to His Word. Go back to the Lord Jesus Christ as an example. Go back to the idea of what is man. And once you learn to focus, and you find your faith all over again, perspective becomes clear. You know what? I'm okay. I'm not here for you to like or dislike. I'm nothing. You want to say mad things against me? God made me this. God blessed me with this. God gave me this work to do. It is God who has done all these things here. That's it. And I'm just going to be as faithful as I possibly can to discharge whatever God has given me to do, however it is. That's it. And if we can have this perspective, and our focus, this perspective, is strong and steady, then we won't be overly caught up with it. At least Psalm 8 is a little bit of a breather.
Next week, Psalm 9, same problem. Enemies, kind of in, Lord, judge, and all. Same problem. You see, but at least you get a bit of a breather. So don't climb that high horse. You fall down harder. Just be man. Just be yourself. Okay? Who am I? Nobody. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Right? Once I was going to a church, twice now that happened to me. Was invited to a church, and obviously they didn't know they were talking about. You know, today our speaker is this pastor, you know, I've heard about him and saying all sort of thing here. Then the person say, hi, here you are. I say, yes. He said, well, what are you doing here? Oh, I'm the speaker for today. Wow, that was, so this is sometimes we can, they're all story told about this man from China, and so there was a big scientific forum there, and the people, all the top scientists were invited, and there was it was lunchtime, and there he was lining up for his soup and all that. They thought this China man doesn't know anything, and then he ordered some soup, and that was all. Didn't say very much. So this Caucasian guy, big guy, you lucky soupy. So he nodded his head, okay. So at the forum, the keynote speaker, lo and behold, was this man. So he gave a brilliant speech there about his findings and all that. And everybody wildly clapped because he was such a brilliant, well-known person. So after the whole thing was over, he went to this man and he said, "You lucky speechy. Don't despise people at the end of the day, and don't be exalting yourself one way or the other too. Let's just be who we are and what we are. That's the best thing to do. So don't let's, you know, best thing is, look at Psalm 8 in its prep. It is, its place. Because you can't place, okay, this is Psalm 8, 7, Psalm 9. And you can't really place it in that sense, in that order. But I'm saying to you that Psalm of David, the first few Psalms arranged, displayed that he was in distress quite a bit. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then 9, 10, 11, in distress a lot of times. In the midst of all the distress, he found time to do something which is extremely helpful to us. He learned to focus on God, on his profound will, on his creation, of how he made man. And what's our response to all that? We bring in Hebrews 10, we bring in Philippians 2, then we say, this is how we can apply Psalm 8 into our own life. Okay? So you bring your chai in, then he will go take his photograph, big camera, take photographs all over the place, and say, this is the creation of God. Oh, you could do that. Me, I don't have a DSLR, so I cannot do anything like that, and I wouldn't know what to do with it. So what can I do? My pictures cannot take beyond a number of anything beyond up to the clock there. That's it. Beyond that, can't. So I can't do very much with it. But you know what I can do? I can meditate on God's word. And you know what? As long as it helps us to understand God, his perspective in our life, our will, our place in God's will, that would be great. However you do it, maybe with a camera, maybe out there you need to travel to see the northern lights. Me, I no need to go anywhere. I just read Psalm 8, I meditate, and I am okay. I don't need camera. I don't need to go to the up there and to the north there. I don't need. Singapore got no stars. the only time I see stars is when I get headaches, you know. Then I say, wow. But I really don't need. I just need some aid and proper meditation upon the Lord. And I would have the same effect. So be careful. Don't allow these things to get to you beyond your certain level. Don't be full of care. Don't let anxiety come in. The best thing is to learn how to focus on the Lord and see how it will work out. Okay? So learn how to apply these things in your life. It will really, really stand you in good stead. Learn and then get back in perspective. So this is the Lord's will. This is God. This is man. And this is me. This is where I am. What I'm going to do, I'm going to follow the Son of Man. I'm going to follow him as he lived his life. Do God's will, do it humbly, obedient to the very end of my, to the point of death, I will be faithful and I will be true. Now that is what we want to do. Okay? That's our focus. That's our challenge. May we be able to do that. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we just want to thank you for the challenge to focus away from all the problems, difficulties, and challenges of life. The things that bring us hurt and sorrow and distress. Lord, teach us how to look up to you instead. To look up to you and to be challenged to ponder your wisdom. How you ordain strength in little ones. That you would be mindful of us as human beings at all. We just want to thank you. Help us to respond correctly. Like the Lord Jesus Christ, to ask what is your will and to find that grace and that wisdom and that mercy and the strength to fulfill that will. We pray that you would encourage and strengthen us to do all these things to your glory. We pray that we may always seek to glorify you. We pray, giving thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you for being here.